Bilski, and this is December 7th, 2018, on UPR and radio, and this is a quantum leap. Well, you know, we're still going through Mercury in retrograde, and I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I need some humor tonight. Yeah, life has been really, really rough. Things have been crazier than normal, and I thought, you know, let's just have a night that we just laugh. And there's no better way to raise your energy up than with laughter. So I got together all of my little stories that I think is funny. And I'll have to warn you, I'm from the Midwest, and we have what I call a sarcastic, witty sense of humor. So you either think we're friggin' funny or we're the rudest people on the planet. Go grab your doobie, smoke a little bit, go drink that wine, grab your beer, and let's just laugh tonight, okay? Now, I wanted to start off with a story that actually happened, and I live on the Big Island of Hawaii. Now, this is, I'm not saying that this story is going to make sense. It just happened. You know, you can't write what true life is really like. So anyway, I was visiting one of the smaller post offices on the island, and one of the post office drivers, you know, that delivers all the mail to all the little post offices, come in and says, one of the bigger post offices, actually, when they had their delivery with all the Christmas mail, she looked at the truck, decided that it had too much mail in it, refused the delivery, shut the door, and made the guy leave. Yeah, it really happened. I don't know. I think maybe somebody doesn't think that Christmas is the really special season that you think it is, or maybe it's time for her to get a new job. I don't go to that post office anymore. All right, so let's start off with a little Christmas song. Now, this is called The 12 Days of Facebook, and of course it goes to the 12 Days of Christmas. I'll try to sing it to the best of my ability and smoke that doobie. On the 12th day of Christmas, my Facebook gave to me 12 freaks I'm blocking, 11 friends just watching, 10 corny topics, 9 broken friendships, 8 complaining relatives, 7 stalkers stalking, 6 party invites, 5 drama queens, 4 game requests, 3 phone tags, 2 friends of poking, and a creep who won't stop inboxing me. That's 12 days of Facebook. All right, enough of my voice and singing. Now, we're going to kind of stay on the songs because since some have decided that, you know, remember that old song, Baby, It's Cold Outside, should be banned and pulled from radio playlists for encouraging date rape, we feel that these other holiday songs must also be removed as they're offensive as well. Now, I'm doing this tongue-in-cheek. If you take this seriously, you all got some serious problems, okay? All right, 1. I saw mommy, the song, I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus, okay? Now, that's subjugating minors to soft corn porn and infidelity. 2, the Christmas song, open fire, pollution, folks dressed up like Eskimos, cultural appropriation. 3, holly jolly Christmas, kiss her once for me, unwanted advances, slavery of women. Then we have the white Christmas song. Who can guess what that would be? Racist? Bing, you got it. 5. Santa Claus is coming to town. See you when you're sleeping. Knows when you're awake. Peeping Tom stalker, pedophilia. 6. The most wonderful time of the year. Everyone telling you be of good cheer, making light of mental illness, forced to hide depression. 7. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Spirit's making me sing these, and you know, sometimes you just got to go with it, okay? All right, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Well, you can put that under the category of bullying. 8. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Gender, specific gifts, dolls for Janice and Jen, and boots and pistol for Barney and Ben. A 2-fer, guns and bigotry. 9. Santa Baby objectifies women and blackmail. 10. Frosty the Snowman. Now, what's really amazing to me is that I know all these songs. All right, Frosty the Snowman, sexist, why not Snow Woman? 11, do you hear what I hear? Blatant disregard for the hearing impaired. 12, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Giddy up, jingle bell horse, pick up your feet, animal abuse. 13, mistletoe and holly. Overeating, folks stealing a kiss or two. How did this song ever see the light of day? 14, winter wonderland. Parson Brown demanding they get married. Forced marriage. 15, this is my favorite. Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. I'm Polish, you know, we heard that song every single year, okay? Come on, you remember it. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Okay, well, come on. The name says it all. Reckless driving, attempted murder, elder abuse, disrespect. All right, well, those are our songs of Christmas. Now, continuing on the Christmas theme for a little bit. This is Christmas from a mother's point of view. As I've wallowed in Christmas music the last couple of weeks, I've pondered the traditions of the Christmas story, and I've come to a conclusion. Mary was shafted. There she is. 8-plus months pregnant, having been dragged all over Israel on the back of a fucking donkey. I know that when I was 8 months pregnant, I had a hard time riding for 2 hours in a car to attend my father-in-law's funeral. And men just do not understand how often one has to pee when there's a baby sitting on one's bladder. Especially when one is being jiggled by travel. Do you think Joseph cheerfully stopped every 15 minutes for a potty break, heaving Mary on and off the donkey with nary a complaint? I mean, he didn't even get the fun of the conception. I mean, that had to have had an effect on his equanimity during the pregnancy. So they pull into Bethlehem, and Joseph can't even come up with a room at a Motel 6. Mary must have felt as if her damn back was breaking even before she went into labor. So let's think about that for a little bit, shall we? Mary was a first-time mother. Her labor would have lasted a long, long time. I went for 23 hours between my water breaking and the delivery of my eldest child. So I'm guessing Mary was in labor for 12 hours at least, with no option of an epidermal. Yeah, I suppose God could have given Mary a short and pain-free labor. After all, she was doing him a pretty damn big favor, being a surrogate mother and all. But were that the case, I'm pretty sure that would have been mentioned as one of the miracles of the miraculous birth. Besides, this is a male God. He wouldn't have thought of giving Mary a break. You know, it's one of those women things. And speaking of women things, who helped deliver baby Jesus? There's no mention of any women being around. Did Joseph run for a midwife? And if so, why don't we know about it? We do know that Joseph couldn't assist. For one thing, he didn't know nothing about birth and no babies. Mary was a first-time mother, but Joseph wasn't even a first-time father. Besides, according to the Jewish laws concerning Nidah, at the point when labor becomes really, really painful, Mary was a voladet, a woman giving birth and unclean. Not Joseph, nor the innkeeper, nor the shepherds, nor any other Jewish man could touch her. She was on her own. Beyond that, what was Mary using for a bed? We know all about the little Lord Jesus being tucked away in a manger after the fact, but what did Mary labor upon? I doubt that the innkeeper kept a birthing stool handy, especially not in a barn. So I'm guessing our poor girl was regulated to a pile of straw in a cow barn full of fodder and cow shit. Do you think Mary suffered it at all in stoic silence? Now, if Mary was like most women, she likely was cursing the male who got her in that condition and that position, especially since he had it in his power to spare her the entire ordeal. Jesus was born of a woman. That was the whole idea of God made man, wasn't it? And a real woman would have been screaming her bloody head off, cursing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost for good measure. If you've ever been through labor, you get it. So here we have Mary, who have jogged around the countryside on a donkey, not getting a decent night's sleep in weeks, having labor mightily to bring forth the child with no assistance from a knowledgeable woman, bedded down in a stable, lying on pokey, scratchy straw amongst the oxen and cows and ducks and sheep and all the effluvia which comes from livestock. Wow, sounds really great, doesn't it? The poor girl just needs some rest. I know after I gave birth, the last thing I wanted was a parade of visitors. All I wanted was some goddamn sleep. But poor Mary, what happened to her? Why? A veritable convention broke out. First, there were the animals already in the barn. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. Then the shepherds arrive with their flocks. You don't think they left them out in the pastures unguarded, do you? Those sheep were the only wealth they had. They wouldn't just leave them there. It was those damn angels and their trumpets and their harps of gold bending near the earth to sing, "Hark! Glory to the newborn king." Oh yeah, the angels did a great fucking job. By the time they finished singing on high, with the mountains enjoying the joyful strains, to come to Bethlehem and see heaven and nature singing and repeating the sounding joy and the song high above the trees with a voice as big as the seas, everyone and their brother, but no sisters to tend to Mary, had been called to traipse through the cow barn and stare at the baby. There was no consideration at all of what Mary needed. The wise men show up with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh for Jesus. They could have at least brought a pacifier to keep the baby quiet. And Mary could really have used a fluffy down comforter or some nice bath salts, although the frankincense would have been useful for covering up the stench of the cow shit. Crap, they even end up referring to Jesus as the Son of Man, when there was no man involved in the whole process, just a Godhead and a woman. By the time the little drummer boy arrived, Mary properly grabbed a shepherd's crook and beat the kid with it, and then broke the frucky the drum and wailed shit on the shepherds, the wise men, the angels, the sheep, and Joseph for good measure. It would have been the only way she would get a silent frigging night. And that's the story of Mary. All right, now this is a little ditty. This was overheard at the customer service counter. Good morning, ma'am. May I help you? Yes. I'd like to return this present, please. What seems to be wrong with it? It's defective. How so? Well, first of all, see the way its head is attached? I think it's missing a few screws. Where? Right here. No, they're all here. They're just loose. That can be fixed. Anything else? Yes, ever since I got it, it hasn't worked the way I'd like it to. When I turn the switch on like this, it, ouch, grabs me. See that? If any of my women's friends are around, it grabs them too. I think I might be able to fix that. Here, let me see what I can do. Yes, I think it'll be okay if this bolt is adjusted. What's the matter? That's odd. It doesn't seem to want to move to the left. It only turns to the right. And there's something else too. It's almost as if it has a mind of its own. You see? I keep a clean house, but right after I brought this president home, it started to dig into my beautiful carpet, destroying it. Actually, I had to watch it every minute because I knew if I turned my back, there'd be nothing but oily messes all over the house. And those are so ugly and hard to get out, you know? I remember hearing the same complaint about an older model of the same president about 10 years ago. Why did you buy this one in the first place? I didn't. I had my mind made up on another president, one made by another company, but someone else bought this one for me. It's an American product, but it came from a plant in Russia. I thought it was kind of cute at first, you know, with its little hands and that orange stuff on its head. But I knew there was something wrong with it from day one.
What made you think so?
Well, the instructions on the box listed all the things it should do, but it doesn't do much of anything except make a mess of things or just lie around. I think there's something seriously wrong with its internal workings. There's this other weird thing, too. It babbles all the time. It doesn't say anything intelligible or sensible, but every morning about 3 a.m. it goes, tweet, tweet, tweet. I realize now that it's not the right president for what I need it to do. So I want to return it and get the one I originally wanted.
I'm sorry to tell you this, ma'am.
but there is a no return policy on this particular president. I can't return it, but it's practically brand new. It's hardly been used. I want to send it back before it does any more damage. I understand, but we can't do it. Too bad you weren't able to get the president you chose in the first place. That company makes very good ones. In fact, their last model was one of the best ever. They'll be hard-pressed to make another of its kind again, even when people abused it. And sometimes they were downright brutal to it, kicking it, throwing it on the floor, stomping on it. It still kept right on working and doing what it was designed to do. Can I trade this one in for the last model?
Nope.
I'm sorry, but your president is non-exchangeable. Besides, the last model has been retired. Don't be too discouraged, though. The companies will eventually bring out other models. Their new ones will be available in 2020. 2 years. I have to wait 2 more years? Do you have any suggestions what I could do in the meantime? Well, you could write a letter to the manufacturers. If enough of their customers are dissatisfied, they just might recall it. Right now, though, there's really nothing I can do for you. I'm sorry I can't help. Oh, that's okay. Thanks anyway. My fault in accepting it at all and waiting to see if it was any good. So I guess I'm stuck with it, huh? I'm afraid so, ma'am. I'm very much afraid so. At least till 2020 and the new models come out. All right, so if you're 30 or older, you might think this is hilarious. Now, when I was a kid, adults used to bore me to tears with their tedious diatribes about how hard things were when they were growing up. What with walking 25 miles to school every morning, uphill, in the snow, barefoot, both ways, yada, yada, yada. And I remember promising myself that when I grew up, there was no way in hell I was going to lay a bunch of crap like that on my kids about how hard I had it and how easy they've got it. But now that I'm over the ripe old age of 30 twice, I can't help but look around and notice the youth of today. God, they got it so easy. I mean, compared to my childhood, you live in a damn utopia. And I hate to say it, but you kids today, you don't know how good you got it. I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't have the internet. If we wanted to know something, we had to go to the darn library and look it up ourselves in the card catalog, and we were tested on the card catalog. There was no email. We had to actually write somebody a letter with a pen. Then you had to walk all the way down the street and put it in the mailbox, and it actually would take a week to get there. Stamps were 10 cents. Child Protective Services didn't care if our parents beat us. As a matter of fact, the parents of all my friends also had to get permission to kick our ass. Nowhere was safe. There were no MP3s or Napsters or iTunes. If you wanted to steal music, you had to hitchhike to the record store and shoplift it yourself. Or you had to wait around all day to tape it off the radio, and the DJ would usually talk over the beginning and screw it all up. There were no CD players. We had tape decks in our car. We'd play our favorite tape, have to take 20 minutes to rewind or fast forward it to where we wanted it, and eject it when finished. And then the tape would come undone, rendering it useless. Because, hey, that's how we rolled, baby. You dig? We didn't have fancy crap like call waiting. If you are on the phone and somebody else called, they got a busy signal. That's it. There weren't any freaking cell phones either. If you left the house, you just didn't make a darn call or receive one. You actually had to be out of touch with your friends. Oh my God. Think of the horror, not being in touch with someone 24/7. And then there's texting. Yeah, right. Please, you kids have no idea how annoying you are. We didn't have fancy caller ID either. When the phone rang, you had no idea who it was. It could be your school, your parents, your boss, your bookie, your drug dealer, your collection agent. You just didn't know. You had to pick it up and take your chances, mister. Oh, by the way, we normally had one phone in the house. It was attached to the wall. And, you know, you had a 6-foot cord on it. And then later, when we got the 12 and 18-foot cords, it was heaven. And then, oh my God, when we finally got in all the rooms, phone plugs, so you could have a phone in almost every room. Oh my God, that was just awesome. And you never had to recharge the phone because it was still attached to the wall. We didn't have any fancy PlayStation or Xbox video games with high resolution 3D graphics. We had the Atari 2600 with games like Space Invaders and Asteroids. Your screen guy was a little square. You actually had to use your imagination. And there were no multiple levels or screens, and it was just one screen forever. The game just kept getting harder and harder and faster until you died. It's just like life. And I hate to say it, but I'm going to. I'm old enough to remember when TVs were black and white. And they had Mickey Mouse Club, black and white. And those were the times, very simple. You had to use a little book called a TV guide to find out what was on. You were screwed when it came to channel surfing. You actually had to get off your rear and walk over to the TV to change the channel. We didn't have remotes. Oh, God, what's the world coming to? There was no Cartoon Network either. And you could only get cartoons on Saturday morning. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? We had to wait all week for cartoons, you spoiled little rat bastards. We didn't have microwaves. If we wanted to heat something up, we had to use the stove. Oh my God, and actually learn to cook. And our parents told us to stay outside and play all day long, because if we didn't and came back inside, you're doing your chores. No electronics to soothe and comfort. And car seats. Oh, please. Mom threw you in the back seat and you hung on. If you were lucky, you got the safety arm across the chest at the last moment if she had to stop suddenly. And if your head hit the dashboard, well, that was your fault for calling shotgun in the first place. How many of you remember going down slides made out of aluminum? Well, those babies were hot in the summertime. But man, if you used to get some of that really, oh God, what did they used to use? The wax paper, you know, start at the top. Oh my God, those slides went, you went really flat fast. How many of you actually had real chains on your swing and constantly got your fingers pinched? That was part of it. we had merry-go-rounds, you know, that would go so fast it would throw us off. Or the teeter-totter. Oh my God, that was fun. I mean, how many times did you get on one end with three people on the other, and whoever was the heaviest, you tried to buckle them, you know, buck them off. That was fun. How many of you had your playgrounds over cement? Oh, yeah. That's where we had our playgrounds. It was on cement. They had the swings on cement, the monkey bars. I remember falling off the monkey bars a few times on the cement. Yeah, what were our parents not thinking, right? And that's what I'm talking about. You know, you kids really got it too easy. You're spoiled rotten. And this is true. When I was growing up, and I'm not making this up, talk about being on the humility program. We had a wringer washer, you know, where you had two bins where you would fill them up with water, and then you got the wringer washer. So you would soak everything in one, and then you would put it through the wringer. And then you would put it in the next water, and you would put it in the wringer and get it in the wash machine. And then when that was done, you would put it through the wringer and you would rinse it in, you know, the water again, and then you put it through the wringer. Well, I had such a wonderful older sister that when my mom passed away, my dad decided that he was going to buy all new appliances for us, and she got to pick them out. So I got a brand new refrigerator, a brand new stove in the family, got a brand new dryer. But what did my sister get? Oh my God, you'll never guess. Well, maybe you will. She got a brand new wringer washer, brand new wringer washer. I saw that. I almost flipped out. It's like, are you kidding me? You couldn't get an automatic washer? Oh, no. We had to get a brand new wringer washer. So that is what I grew up with. Did I love to wash? Oh, hell no. Now, my older sister, who picked out that lovely old wash machine, wringer washer, she, you know, this was years later. Now, I'm not saying she can be stuck in the past, but bless her heart, she was. So she wanted me to go out with her to get a brand new refrigerator, because her old refrigerator, which was one that you had to self-defrost, and they did have them back then. Do you guys remember those self-defrost refrigerators where, you know, you would start defrosting and then, you know, the ice would form so bad that maybe you would have like 3 inches of space left and you had to take a knife and just chop all the ice out? Yeah, that was our refrigerators that were not frost-free. So we're looking for a brand new refrigerator, her old do-it-yourself frost needs to be replaced. We went to about 4 places to look for a new refrigerator. And she was looking for a refrigerator that she had to, yes, defrost herself. And finally, somebody said to her at the last place we went to, "My dear, we don't make them anymore." And she was forced to buying a brand new modern refrigerator. Woo! Relatives, right? So that's growing up in the olden days. Yeah, you know, we didn't have computers. Man, you had to put, people put gas in our tanks. We didn't, it wasn't self-serve. Yeah, anyway, so I'm going to go to, this is my favorite story that I think is really, really funny. And it's called Only a Man Would Attempt This. All right, so it's called Pocket Taser Stun Gun, A Great Gift for the Wife. A guy who purchased his lovely wife a pocket taser for their anniversary submitted this. Last weekend, I saw something at Larry's Pistol and Pawn Shop that sparked my interest. The occasion was our 15th anniversary, and I was looking for a little something extra for my wife, Julie. What I came across was a 100,000-volt pocket purse-sized taser. The effects of the taser were supposed to be short-lived, with no long-term adverse effect on your assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to safety. Way too cool. Long story short, I bought the device and brought it home. I loaded two AAA batteries in the darn thing and pushed the button. Nothing. I was disappointed. I learned, however, that if I pushed the button and pressed it against a metal surface at the same time, I'd get the blue arc of electricity darting back and forth between the prongs. Awesome! Unfortunately, I have yet to explain to Julie what that burn spot is on the face of her microwave. Okay. So I was home alone with this new toy, thinking to myself that it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries, right? There I sat in my recliner, my cat Gracie looking on intently, trusting little soul, while I was reading the directions and thinking that I really, really needed to try this thing out on a flesh and blood moving target. I must admit, I thought about zapping Gracie for a fraction of a second and thought better of it. She's such a sweet cat. But if I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect her against a mugger, I did want some assurance that it would work as advertised. Am I wrong? So there I sat in a pair of shorts and a tank top with my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose, directions in one hand and taser in another. The directions said that a 1 second burst would shock and disorient your assailant. A 2 second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasm and a major loss of body control. A 3 second burst would purportedly make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. Any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting the batteries. All the while, I'm looking at this little device measuring about 5 inches long, less than 3/4 inch in circumference, pretty cute, really, and loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries, thinking to myself, no possible way. What happened next is almost beyond description, but I'll do my best. I'm sitting there alone, Gracie looking on with her head cocked to one side as if to say, don't do it, dipshit. Reasoning that a 1 second burst from such a tiny little old thing couldn't hurt all that bad, I decided to give myself a 1 second burst just for the heck of it. I touched the prongs to my naked thigh, pushed the button, and holy mother of God, weapons of mass destruction. What the hell? I'm pretty sure Jesse Ventura ran in through the side door, picked me up in the recliner, then body slammed us both on the carpet over and over and over again. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in a fetal position with tears in my eyes, body soaking wet, both nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found, with my left arm tucked under my body in the oddest position, and the tingling in my legs. The cat was making meowing sounds I've never heard before, clinging to to a picture frame hanging above the fireplace, obviously in an attempt to avoid getting slammed by my body, flopping all over the living room. Note, if you ever feel compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution. There is no such thing as a 1 second burst. When you zap yourself, you will not let go of that thing until it is dislodged from your hand by a violent thrashing about on the floor. A 3 second burst would be considered conservative. It hurt like hell. A minute or so later, I can't be sure, as time was a relative thing at that point, I collected my wits, what little I had left, sat up and surveyed the landscape. My bent reading glasses were on the mantle of the fireplace. The recliner was upside down and about 8 feet or so from where it originally was. My triceps, right thigh, and both nipples were still twitching. My face felt like it had been shot up with Novocaine, and my bottom lip weighed 88 pounds. I had no control over the drooling. Apparently, I pooped on myself, but was too numb to know for sure, and my sense of smell was gone. I saw a faint smoke cloud above my head, which I believe came from my hair. I'm still looking for my nuts. I'm offering a significant reward for their safe return. P.S. My wife can't stop laughing about my experience. Love the gift. And now regularly threatens me with it. If you think education is difficult, try being stupid. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Nick. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, all right. Well, and that's a humorous night. I should have brought more material. Oh, my God. Oh, well, guys, if you haven't yet, check out my website page at www.angelightom.com. That's angelightom.com. I have all my cool angel light tools on it that glow in the dark. Anybody can be a healer. And if you don't know about angel light, it's a mineral from South America. I've had it heal burns and bruises overnight, cancers, tumors. When I broke my little finger, I made myself a splint out of Band-Aids and angel light, and I healed it in 3.5 weeks. I'm not the doctor's friend. If you put a piece of angel light in water, it'll slowly dissolve. And let's see if I can take you around and show you some angel light, since I am here and we are in visual. So this is angel light. Oops, you see it? All right, that's just like a piece that's polished on one side and round on the bottom. And then I have them flat like slices. So you can, if you have a kidney problem or liver problem, you can, you know, put it there as a tape over. If you wear it and you have asthma, it'll cut your asthma attacks down and it helps you breathe. If you wear it as earrings, show you some angel light earrings. Oh, we doing that? Yeah. All right, there we go. The earrings actually will open up your hearing and help you hear better because this works on your eardrums. You got wrist challenges, you got bracelets. Oops, that's not bracelets. There we go. There's the bracelets. And I got angel light and black tourmaline, angel light and amethyst bracelets. Then got all the angel light pieces that are of shapes. I am the angel light queen. And then we have the angel light massage tools. Okay, let me show you one of those. All right, this is shaped like an egg with a crystal out of it. And it's awesome. This is actually one of my best sellers because you can get deep tissue with it. And So your energy comes through the crown and flows all the way through your body. And then it goes through the crystal handle into the massage tool. And it really, oh my goodness, you do the head on people. There's 10,000 energy nerve endings there. And oh my God, it's quite orgasmic when you run it on the head. And then I have little ones. You want to get deep tissue, deeper tissue. And of that, I guess I should say the little ones are 15, the egg shape, and I have different colors. Yeah, those are, oops, those are 30. And then I have round ones with round bottoms going anywhere from 35 on up with different handles. And then I have plates that you can lay on. I actually have an angelite bed here at the store. I wasn't planning on doing this till tonight. So, oops, if you can see the plates, there we go. Now I put those under my bed so it heals me while I sleep. And for those of you that really don't want something more portable, I have rounds. These are like 9-inch rounds of angel light. And I have crosses and different shapes and hearts. Now, I guess we're turning into a little stoner class. For those of you that want to ground, oops, hematite. It's awesome. It pulls you back in body, calms you, you know, helps you stay focused. Now, if you want radiation protection, kyanite's good for that. This is what kyanite looks like. Oops, there we go. Got problems with your heart, you want to open up that love energy. Rose quartz is lovely for that. You want psychic protection? Black tourmaline. Now, black tourmaline helps you not take on other people's energy, but it also helps you not procrastinate. So you find yourself finishing projects and moving forward. And then we have the tektite family. And what are tektites? Tektites are these stones, and they're actually little meteorites. Now, what the tektite does, it takes all your old patterns, it scatters them, and opens you up to new possibilities. So I wear them, and I find myself doing old things in new ways. Now, you're looking for abundance. Citrine is a lovely one. That's the golden crystal that helps draw money situations to you. Tiger eye does, green aventurine. And this is another piece of citrine. This is a cluster. And then, of course, we have amethyst. And if you really want to be creative, okay, amethyst, which is a purple crystal, now that opens up the right side of the brain, creativity, expression, the arts. There, a little journey in stones for those of you that are stoners. And then this is my baby. You can see my big crystal. Oops. There we go. So that is Ela. Now that's my 1,000-pound smoky quartz celestial earth keeper. It's from Brazil. And she's the largest crystal in Hawaii. And you can come and hug her anytime and touch her and do some energy work around her. I have practical furniture, guys. Oh, so yes, I am a stoner. which means I'm a rock collector. What were you all thinking? Okay, so we got a few more minutes left. If you all guys want to do some energy work this week with me, Monday, we will be back to doing chanting at 4 o'clock Hawaiian time. So 9 o'clock Eastern time. And we're chanting, calling down divine enlightenment and re-anchoring it to this timeline. Tuesday, I do a radiation report and we talk about radiation, do energy work toward that. Thursday, it is all the same time. We do energy work for the planet. So I really try to be there at those times, but you know, Mercury's in retrograde and but we do the best we can with what we have and when we can. All right, so let's do a little bit of energy work with a couple minutes we have. And you know, I want you to reconnect with the Creator and really fill yourself up with light. So I want you to take a deep breath and exhale out everything that no longer serves you. And imagine as you're doing that, your silver antenna go up, connecting with Source, and feel that high divine energy just come pouring into the top of your head, flowing all the way down your body, going all the way down your legs, out your feet, down your arms, out your hands, down your spine, flowing through every internal organ, every cell, atom, molecule. Now we're going to send energy to your heart chakra. And from your heart, we're going to send more energy to wherever in your body you are out of balance and have body challenge. And as that heart energy sends the heart into that area, it goes from the heart to that area, back to the heart, back to that challenged area. And every time it flows back and forth, that area becomes stronger and it heals. We're going to cut the ties to whatever is in that area that's creating out of balance and disharmony. We're going to clean it up with the violet flame. And then again, allow that high healing energy pour into that area. And we're going to command all those cells, atoms, and molecules that are out of balance to now mirror the healthy cells and the atoms and the molecules and see the energy there start to heal. And as you're doing that, I call to your higher self and I ask that your divine blueprint for perfect health starts manifesting in your body now. And allow all that energy to integrate in a very gentle, kind, loving way with your cells, your atoms, your molecules, all your internal organs going all the way down into your DNA. That's it for this week, guys. I hope to see you next week, same time, same place. The Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show with me, Kathy Bilski. And, you know, you can go to my YouTube channel. I have all my shows on there, and then I've got my curse removal there. I've got my curse of the soul retrieval if you need extra energy work. And then you can also get the curse removal on my website, www.angellightohm.com, where I've got all the healing tools there, the angel light and, well, other different stones. But again, anybody can be a healer. And, you know, when you get one of my tools to share, you're giving the gift of healing. It gives over and over and over again, and it'll last 25 to 30 years, or 50 years, actually. You know, I've been doing this for 28 years, and we've got people 26, 27 years that's actually still have our product and still using it. So it's not planned obsolescence. If you want, you can find me on my Facebook page, Kathy Bilski, Google Plus, under Kathy Bilski. You know, if you want to be known, use your name. So again, thanks for tuning in. And I hope that y'all have a really lovely week. Yeah, I hope you're filled with joy and that spirit sends you some heart's desires, and that you guide us into doing spirit, into doing his will, not our will. Be joyful, and we'll catch you next week. Aloha. Keep the humor.
Peace and long life.